Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, now's my, there we go, there the microphone's on. All right, I was recording liners, etc., because, man, after today, I'm on the road for over the next week, so I won't be here in studio, but, anyway, man, I'll tell you what, I heard dial tone there about 60 seconds ago, and boy, that was a good thing to hear, because if you guys were listening in the 9 o'clock, actually in the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, man, we had all this stuff lined up, and then boom, it was like all of a sudden, wait. I'll bet Mike in Big Timber must have just had such a good phone call. He made such a good point. He had such good comments. He called us at like 8:30 in the morning, and he was talking about Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing for SecDef to be Secretary of Defense. And he made a great point, a point that I hadn't even brought up yet all morning. But that's why we love getting your phone calls, because we always get our best information from your calls, and we love to hear what you have to say about all this stuff. So he called like 8:30 in the morning, so our phones were working at 8:30, and then boom, 8:35, we go to that quick break. I was supposed to have AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News previewing the SHOT Show coverage that's coming up next week, and no dial tone. None of the red lights would even light up on our little, it's like a Telos box. Some of you guys who've been in radio land for a while will know what that is. It's this Telos box system thing that we do our phone calls, and it just, there was nothing. And so our great engineer, Andy, and Caden was doing an incredible job, jumping through hoops to make things happen. And so we didn't have any phone lines, which is a little bit of a challenge when the best part of your show is taking phone calls. And then not only that, but if you have a guest who's joining over the phone, like the governor of the state of Montana, 2 days after his State of the State address, which is what was scheduled for the start of the 9 o'clock hour. Well, that went out the window. But like I mentioned, our producer Caden kind of figured some things out on the fly and on the spot. So we were still able to get a chance to hear from Speaker of the House Brandon Lear of the Montana House of Representatives. So a great update from him. If you didn't get a chance to hear it live in the 9 o'clock hour, it's all the audio, as always, is on our Montana Talks app and on the podcast page. Or if you listen to podcasts on Spotify or things like that, you can get Montana Talks, all the show audio there as well. But, you know, one of the questions I asked Speaker of the House Brandon Lear about is, I said, hey, you know, we've seen kind of this this fractured caucus with the Republicans in the state Senate here in Montana fighting over these rules, et cetera. How united are House Republicans in the Montana House? And he said, we are very united. We're ready to rock and roll. And boy, did they rock and roll. They already got a key significant achievement across the finish line. House Bill 121, the bill to protect women and girls and their safe spaces like bathrooms and shower facilities, etc., that got across the finish line on a party line vote. So did any Democrats vote the right way? Did any Republicans vote the wrong way?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today, we're looking at high temperatures from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, increasing clouds, chances for snow showers moving in overnight. Lows in the upper teens in Bozeman to the mid-20s in Billings, with snow showers Friday up to an inch possible, with high temperatures in the mid-20s to around 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall discussed a new report highlighting what the Air Force and Space Force might look like in 2050 in a recent panel with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Kendall says the basic conclusion is that
both services need to go through a transformation.
The reason?
We can't just wait and presume we're going to be dominant anymore.
And Kendall claims no situation demands that more than space. and that the U.S. needs a bigger and more capable Space Force because
the threats are going to evolve. They're going to change pretty significantly. Access to space has become much cheaper. We'll continue to do so.
That includes the new space militarization race against the Chinese, who have made moves
largely to target our joint force and largely to deny us the capability to do the same thing to Chinese forces.
Kendall also advocates improving our ability to conduct cyber attacks against our enemies. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this will be a fun 6 o'clock hour of this show here. Because our good friend David Noble, he typically joins us in about 1 hour. He's coming in early today, so he may be here in about 15, 20 minutes or so. So that's going to be a ton of fun. And then he'll join us for part of the next hour as well. Hey, before we jump into it here this morning, I don't know if you guys have been watching the weather forecast here. Oh, my goodness. Here comes some more snow. Of course, because I got to drive to Helena. So of course, it's got to snow. When does the snow start? Looks like it's, maybe not till later. Okay, not till maybe later tonight. Okay, good. All right, so I can get to Helena. Hard part will be getting back from Helena. But the deep freeze is coming as well. Now, if you've been, you know, feeling the temperatures these last few days in Montana, if you're somebody who's new to Montana or newer to Montana, and you're like, oh, it's cold out here. No, it ain't, buddy. No, it ain't. You want to feel the cold? Oh, she's coming just in the next few days. And I think that cold is blanketing most of the country. I think Las Vegas is going to be the only one outside that little bubble of the severe cold. So I might get a little bit of a reprieve less than a week from today when we're in Vegas for the SHOT Show. But anyway, you want to feel cold? How many of you do this? If you want to feel the cold, you'll go to your windows and you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, I can feel that cold coming through the window right now. Well, you probably need some new windows because you're spending a lot of money on your energy bills as a result of that. How much do you think those old windows of yours are costing you with regard to your energy bills? Well, I'll tell you what, I've got an answer for you here. YHIC, your home improvement company. These guys can be a game changer for your home. They've got an unbeatable deal going right now. Buy two windows, get two free. Yes, free. It's a deal you don't want to miss. They've got easy financing right now, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. These are like triple pane windows, energy efficient triple pane windows. Bring the pain. They got triple pain. You want to bring the pain so you don't feel the pain in your wallet because of those high energy bills. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation, whether it's windows, bathrooms, or both. This is a limited time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, buy two windows, get two free. Call 406-948-2836 right now, 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com. And, great opportunity to save some money starting right now. Don't wait. Call them today and love the difference with YHIC. All right, lots to get to here. So Joe Biden apparently gave some farewell address last night. I know, I was like, oh, come on. I mean, not that he's giving a farewell address. Okay, give your farewell address. But why did they have to break into primetime coverage for Joe's little farewell address? that sounds like it was just bitter all the way up to the end. It's bitter Biden all the way up till the end. Just a few days that he's left, he and his regime are left in power, and just bitterness all the way up to the end is what it sounds like. But here's why I was really ticked off. I wanted to listen to Jesse Waters last night, and instead we got the dong. Return now to Joe Biden's farewell. I don't care. We have had it with that guy. We have had it with his regime. You know, just pack up your Adam Schiff and get out of here. Go back to your climate change beach house in Delaware that's supposed to be underwater already by now. But you'd think, okay, it's his farewell address. Maybe he'll put his big boy pants on and show some dignity. But it sounds like it was nothing of the sort. Here was Kayleigh McEnany on Fox News after the farewell address.
No, not at all. This man that you're looking at, President Biden, began his presidency by using the word unity. He used it nearly half a dozen times in his inaugural address. Unity, unity, unity. It was a really nicely done inaugural address. He ends his presidency by saying abuse of power nearly half a dozen times, warning that an oligarchy is coming in. All the while talking about tax compliance in this speech while his son Hunter is off to the side. I just saw that in Doug Mills' picture, who was just pardoned for violating the tax code. It was so incredibly tone deaf. And there was a bit of irony. He is exiting the stage with the lowest approval rating he has ever had at 37%. While the guy that he warned was a threat to democracy tonight and throughout his presidency, President Donald J. Trump, has the highest approval numbers he has ever had in his time on the political stage. It was tone deaf. And to echo Dana, I wanted to say something kind. This man had a 50-year career. He made it to the presidency, a long history in Washington, but he made that an impossible thing to do with the divisive way he is exiting the stage.
52 years in Washington, D.C. Did she say it in that clip right there? Or was it a little later? 52 years. I don't know about you guys. I just find that absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting that this guy has been sitting there feeding at the taxpayer-funded trough for 52 years. But even more disgusting than that is he still isn't a statesman. He still caused immense harm to this country, what he has done in the last 4 years. But there he was for 52 years, milking that system the every step of the way, practically. Okay, I'm not hearing the music, but looks like we got to hit our hard break here, and then we'll be back with you right after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We all get benefits from tax dollars, from the roads we drive on, the firefighters who protect our houses, and the courts and police that keep us safe. So why don't we make taxes voluntary? The answer is the well-known free rider problem. People will not voluntarily pay for things that they enjoy, whether they pay or not. If everyone tries to free ride on the backs of others, it all breaks down. The solution, compulsory taxes, is as unpopular as it is necessary. But the free rider problem pops up in other places as well. One of them is housing regulation. The solution to housing unaffordability, to build more housing, is not welcome in many parts of our state, especially at the neighborhood level. Let those other places become more densely populated, some might say, while we keep our big lawns and quiet streets. And if we free ride on other communities' efforts to boost housing stock, we get the best of both worlds. Except that if every community thinks like we do, nothing changes and the crisis gets worse. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Thousands of mourners cycled through the U.S. Capitol recently to pay their final respects to the late President Jimmy Carter. Carter became the 35th person and 13th president to lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda. But Fox encountered one mourner in line wearing an original Kelly Green pin from Carter's inauguration in 1977. That was Eric Strohmeyer of Alexandria, Virginia. Strohmeyer was a sophomore in high school when he came for Carter's inauguration, the last inauguration held on the east front of the Capitol. That's before they moved the inaugurations to the west front on the National Mall side of the Capitol, and that's exactly where they'll hold the inauguration ceremony for President-elect Trump on Monday. A military honor guard brought Carter's body into the Capitol through the East Portico. That's the same place he was inaugurated. Strohmeyer spoke to Fox on the East Front, close to where he watched Carter's inauguration 48 years ago. He volunteered for Carter in 1977 and wore the same pin on Inauguration Day back then, as well as for the memorial service. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, one of the groups meeting this week here at the ASI's annual convention in Scottsdale, Arizona, is the American Lamb Board. They're also sponsoring our coverage this year. And this year's Lamb Checkoff-funded programs include workshops and summits aimed at equipping sheep producers with the necessary tools and resources to profitably grow their operations. Learn more at lambboard.com. Well, ALB Chair and Kansas producer Jeff Ebert says that the Lamb Checkoff continues to fund important programs that benefit both producers and consumers.
There is. I mean, we had a very good informative meeting. We're constantly looking for other ways to promote American lamb to the consumers, but at the same time help our producers generate more income as well. So we look at all aspects of it, from the education, research, and promotion. We want to spend those checkoff dollars in different ways.
And he says it's pretty amazing what the American Lamb Board is doing, considering that they're working with one of the smallest checkoff programs in agriculture.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've seen a report that USDA puts out where, you know, our $3 million budget compared to beef and swine, but even watermelons and blueberries and strawberries. I mean, we have less checkoff dollars than a lot of commodities. So our staff does an excellent job of managing that money and putting promotion dollars where it needs to be. I mean, whether it's social influencers, chefs, bloggers, you know, whatever it takes to keep the word out about American lamb.
Now, some of this year's Lamb Checkoff funded projects include 6 targeted grazing workshops at different locations, along with the American Lamb Summit in July, headed for the University of Idaho in Moscow. Learn more and register at lambboard.com. Stay with us. We'll have more egg news right after this. Ranchers, it's bull buying time, and Redland Black Angus is your headquarters for range cow genetics. 1 o'clock on Saturday, January 18th, 90 age advantage calvinese bulls sell at Buffalo Livestock in Buffalo, Wyoming. Redland Black Angus are range calved and range raised. Their age advantage bulls will get more cows and heifers bred with the confidence a 2-year-old brings, because a ranch's profit starts with more live calves. Offering free wintering till April 1st. Also broadcast live on Northern Livestock Video. For more information, visit RedlandAngus.com.
The American Lamb Board wants 2025 to be the best year yet for education. Lamb Checkoff-funded programs include workshops and summits aimed at equipping sheep producers with the necessary tools and resources to profitably grow their operations. This includes 6 targeted grazing workshops on topics like grazing solar farms and sheep grazing contracts in wildfire-prone areas and vineyards. These workshops provide a unique chance to learn about these paid grazing contracts. Learn more at lambboard.com.
Well, the latest report on foreign ownership of U.S. ag land shows that over 45.8 million acres of U.S. farmland were held by foreign investors in 2023. And that represents 3.61% of total privately held agricultural land in America. Now, Canada actually owns the largest portion of foreign held U.S. ag land with 33.5%. or over 15 million acres, followed by investors out of the Netherlands, Italy, the UK, and Germany. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I'm awaiting official confirmation here. I guess I could go to ledge.mt.gov, but Man, I've been running around like crazy this morning because I got to get a lot of work done here in studio before I hit the road to go to Helena here later today, and then our live show from the Capitol tomorrow in Helena, the third floor fan window. That's where we will be at this exact same time to start tomorrow morning. And then I'm gone all next week. So I got a lot to hurry up and hustle and do here, plus try to prepare for the show. But, man, you know, because we had those phone line issues yesterday, we weren't able to get a chance to chat with the governor. We weren't able to get a chance to chat with AWR Hawkins from Breitbart. So we're going to hear from both of them here later today. Our phone lines seem like they're fully up and running. Or if all else fails, what we'll do, Caden's computer is good to go. He's got microphones in his studio as well. I can just pop over there. We'll do a little, what is it, Teams or Zoom or Meets or whatever. We'll do an internet conversation. And actually, I went back and listened to Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, and we're probably going to need to move to, when we have call-in guests, we'll have to move more towards something like that where we do a computer-based phone call instead of our, because then you get it in digital instead of analog. Because, yeah, I went back and listened to it, and Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr, his audio sounded great over, you know, that that phone call that we did through the computer. So I'm not a Zoom call kind of guy because I hate getting stuck in meetings. I think people waste a lot of time in meetings. They spend all these time in, because people think, oh, I was really busy this week. Oh, what did you do? Well, I had all these meetings. No, what did you do? Meetings are not doing things and getting things done. Now, sometimes you can get things done in meetings, but oftentimes people just like to have meetings so they can feel important, or they can say, look at how busy I am, and justify the fact that they didn't actually accomplish anything that week. Meetings can be very good. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you got to face-to-face. Sometimes you got to jump on the phone. Sometimes you got to jump on one of those stupid Zoom calls. But a lot of times it's like, couldn't we have saved an hour and a half and just accomplish that with a simple email instead? Yeah, you get what I'm saying. But anyway, I'm waiting to confirm House Bill 121, the bill to protect women and girls in their safe spaces, like not just bathrooms, but locker rooms, shower facilities, but also a bill to protect women that are unfortunately in our women's prison so that they don't have men in their showers and things like that. It looks like, if I am not mistaken, now maybe Kat in Sydney has the answer for us. Maybe she's listening already. But if I'm not mistaken, it looks like all of the House Republicans held together and voted in support of House Bill 121. Even that tiny handful of Republicans that many of us felt voted the wrong way with regard to the Capitol bathroom policy in Helena, allowing men into the women's, or at least one man in particular, into the women's restroom. So, a big fix. They get comfortable, throw that headset on. Yeah, great to have David Noble here in the house a little bit early. He's got to cut out a little bit earlier in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. So, David, hey, thanks for coming in early. Hey, that's a cool poncho shirt you got going there, too. I love those things.
Yeah, it's usually me making the comment about how much I like your shirt.
Yeah, I got to get my style tips here from David Noble. Not only do I learn a lot whenever I get a chance to talk to him on the show, but I learned some style tips here as well. Good to see you. I want to grow out a beard like you got, with some gray in it, because I feel like now I feel like the old man in the room. Because David, I remember, well, now listen up, Sonny. I remember, what was it, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I remember Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation warning school boards, warning people in Montana, hey guys, we need to pass a policy here because they're trying to allow boys into girls' bathrooms and they're trying to allow men into girls' locker rooms. And I remember the Capitol Bureau reporters in Helena saying, oh, come on, that's not happening. That's not gonna happen. And now that same Capitol Bureau is saying, oh, come on, why won't you let the men in the women's bathrooms? So I feel like the old man, I remember back in the day.
Well, to take it even a step further, it wasn't just 10 years ago with Jeff Laszloffy. This was 30 years ago with homosexual marriage that they told us, hey, no, we don't want to change anything. We're not going to intrude on you or your kids. We're not. We just want to have homosexual couples to have, you know, when their husband or lesbian wife is in the hospital, we want to go visit them. And we're like, hey, great. You know, And look at where we ended up.
Yeah, yeah. There were people who were saying, look, because, yeah, I remember over the marriage debate, you could see the writing on the wall that this was eventually going to happen just because of the change in our society and in our culture. And
just the way societies and ancient Rome and ancient Greek sort of got more and more debauched and debauched and debauched over time. And then they collapse, you know. So, you see that happening.
And so my argument at the time was like, okay, instead of changing the definition of marriage, because marriage didn't start with the government. It started as a religious sacrament in the Christian church and in the Christian faith, well, in the Jewish, you know, et cetera. But then government said, hey, yeah, we believe that there is a compelling interest for government to be a part of this, because if you want a country, if you want a nation, yeah, you want to promote family and you want to promote children and you want to promote the next generation. So that's why the government said, you know what, we're going to be a part of this here too. But so my argument was, instead of changing the definition of marriage, get government out of defining marriage altogether. But instead, nope, they want to change the definition of marriage. And some people were saying, you're going to open up Pandora's box. And boy, right. did it not ever open up Pandora's box.
Yep. And so we were right. It was a slippery slope. And boy, did we start slipping down that slope quick. And we've been slipping down that slope until here about 2024.
Hey, but great news for, let's do this as the woke update of the week. Looks like House Republicans, I think every single one of them, I'm waiting to confirm, voted in support of House Bill 121 to stand up to this woke agenda.
And good. That bill should be just quick and easy, get it through, done, move on. Right?
Common sense, yeah. State Senate, same thing. Common sense. Get it done, move on to other things. Property tax relief and more. All right, stand by. More with David Noble after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David Noble, you know, this is a big deal. I almost was going to BS with you about this off air, but here we go. We've got a press release here from the House Republican majority here. HB 121 passes the Montana House of Representatives, a step forward for women's privacy and safety. Oh, yeah, here we go. The Republican majority delivered unanimous support with all 58 members of the caucus voting in favor of the bill. Disappointingly, not a single member of the Democrat caucus supported this legislation, raising questions about their commitment to protect the privacy and safety of Montana's women and girls. So, you know, a similar bill just passed the U.S. House of Representatives as well. Two Democrats were willing to vote the right way and do the right thing. They got the message from 2024. But not one Montana Democrat could do the right thing. And thankfully, we didn't have one squishy Republican vote the wrong way on this one, because we've seen that from time to time.
I think that's the better news, is to see the Republicans be united like that. And of course, the Democrats, I mean, these are the same, these Democrats that want men and girls restrooms are the same Democrats that in 2 years will be running for office here in Montana, claiming that they're not far left, that they're not radical left, that they're not the woke left. And it's, you know, we'll have to come back and remind people, no, let's go back to this bill. This is how these people voted. And no, it's, I mean, frankly, it's kind of surprising, because you would almost expect out of that, you know, over 50 House Republicans, you would expect a couple of them to be squishes, especially on that issue, because so many of them have in the past been just so weak and just not willing to just stand up. Isn't it amazing? And I mean, think about it, two years ago, 3 years ago, I mean, 5 years ago, most conservatives were terrified to stand up for women and girls, to stand up for social conservatism. And you know what's so interesting? I can't remember who it was I was listening to. It was a U.S. senator who said, you know what's interesting? Republicans are very, very united on social issues. And this is counterintuitive to sort of the general perception out there that, hey, you know, the cool thing to be 10 years ago was, oh, I'm socially liberal but fiscally conservative. You know, that was if you were trying to be cool, you'd say you're fiscally, you know, conservative but socially liberal. Reality is actually now,
which is, keep your hand out of my pocket. I don't like higher taxes. I don't like the big government spending that's bankrupting this country. But yeah, do all the drugs you want. Yeah, screw up your life however you want.
Yeah, pro trans agenda, pro LGBTQ, all that stuff. But what's interesting is a senator actually was saying, I can't remember who this was. Maybe it was maybe it was Thune or Tuberville or one of these guys. But they said what's interesting in the United States Senate is it's actually the opposite. It's actually the Republicans are actually very, very united on social issues right now. But it's actually the fiscal issues that are dividing Republicans, and especially like spending cuts and where we're going to spend money, tax issues and things like that. I thought that was pretty interesting because that sort of has flipped, I think, over the years. I mean, 10 years ago, I think you had a lot of Republicans that would have said, yeah, I'm not really socially conservative. But now with how far left the left has gone with these social issues, and people, I think, are finally realizing like, OK, look, like, you know, we're not going to, you know, go back to the 1950s on social issues here. But this has gotten out of control.
Yeah. Well, and I would say, too, when it comes to the Montana legislature, typically, too, you know, there's been a split going back, a dozen years or so where, you know, you have, you know, the more Freedom Caucus oriented folks versus the so-called Solutions Caucus folks that would be considered more moderate. But even amongst the more moderate crowd of Republicans, when it comes to social issues, they've all been pretty good. They've been pretty strong on the social issues. It's things like Medicaid expansion, things like that, where you start to see those breaks because they're getting pressured from rural hospitals in these smaller towns that want to see something like that continue. And so that's where the rub can go. But yeah, the other thing I love about this House Bill 121 vote, we had Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, on the show right at like the first of the year for our monthly update. And Kat in Sydney called in and had a very good question. And she's like, hey, you had these four House Republicans and one state senator that voted to allow Zoe Zephyr, a man, to still go into the women's bathroom. And a lot of us didn't like that vote either. But Don and I were a little more, what would the word be, a little more I guess holding out hope in our remarks that, hey, we didn't like this vote either, but they're going to have time to right this wrong. And at least for those House Republicans now, they've had a chance to right that wrong because as I understand it, this protects women and girls and their privacy and safety in all public bathrooms and showers and locker rooms, including the Capitol building as well. So Zoe Zephyr's pissed because he wants to keep going into the women's room.
You know what was absolutely disgusting in the lead newspapers? I read an article this week about this bill. And in an article this week, they said there is no evidence and there's never been an instance where anybody has ever had a sexual assault in one of these bathrooms and restrooms. And I was like, that's a lie. We know what happened in, for example, the Virginia schools.
Yeah, massive scandal. Yeah.
So you've got people like the Billings Gazette publishing stories still today pushing the radical trans agenda and lying about it and saying that there's no danger to little girls or women, that there's never been any assaults against women or children in any bathrooms, and that is false.
And they know damn well that there are women serving in the legislature right now that do not like the fact that a man is going into their bathrooms. So don't sit here and say, oh, this doesn't cause any problems. Oh, the women that are there serving right now deserve to be protected, you know, but see, they don't care about women because they're too busy pushing the agenda of these radical men.
Right. And they're saying, oh, this is the media, of course, this is an anti-trans bill. No, this is a pro women and girls bill. The bias is just sickening. Why do they never get the message after these elections?
And didn't we predict it? I mean, you and I talked about this before the election. I said, you watch January 2025. Here they were lecturing us. Oh, John Tester didn't vote to prevent women to prevent men from in women's sports, and we're like, yeah, he did, but they knew it was unpopular with the people of Montana, so they were trying to protect John Tester with their fake biased coverage. No, he didn't vote that way. Well, if you guys think this is such a popular issue with Montanans, why didn't you tell the truth about John Tester's vote? He should have been proud of it. You should have been proud of it based off your biased coverage right now.
Yeah, no, and then they had biased coverage of Supreme Court Justice Corey Swanson, too. The Billings Gazette just yesterday published some story claiming that Corey Swanson ran for Supreme Court as a conservative judicial candidate.
He did not.
And he didn't.
No.
It's just lie after lie after lie in the Billings Gazette. It's amazing.
Yeah, in fact, when I last interviewed Corey Swanson, you know, I've known him for years. We served in the military.
He always said, I want to be impartial. I want fairness. I don't want to push my personal. He always said that.
Well, and I even, you know, I was going after the radical woke left wing mob that runs the Montana Supreme Court right now. And he kind of pushed back on that a little bit because, you know, I think he wants to establish rapport with his fellow justices and wants to push that in the right direction, but he's just trying to restore fairness and justice. But that's what they don't want, because right now they get to do whatever they want. They get to, you know, so.
Yeah, no, that's kind of my take on the partisan judicial races is basically, I don't see a problem with it because here's the deal. Yes, I'm a Republican. Yes, I'm a conservative. Yes, I have personal political beliefs. But part of my personal political beliefs, part of being a conservative, part of being a Republican is a personal political belief that judges and justices and the judiciary should put aside their personal beliefs when they're deciding cases and decide cases based on what the text of the law says and what the original intent of the drafters of the law says. That's Justice Scalia. That's Justice Thomas. That's how they do their jurisprudence. The Democrats don't believe that. The Democrats don't believe in setting aside their personal beliefs. The Democrats don't believe in setting aside their policy preferences when deciding. So if you have a judicial race and you've got a Republican and a Democrat, the way I would view that is, okay, you've got a Republican. That's going to be in a fair and impartial judge or justice because part of the Republican belief system is having judges and justices that set aside their personal beliefs. You've got a Democrat, a hard leftist running, you can basically take it to the bank that is a judge or judicial candidate that would not be wanting to set aside their personal political beliefs because that's not a core tenet of the Democrat Party.
Yeah. By the way, David Noble, we're going to have the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation coming up after the next break. So, which is about 1 minute away already. So if you want to call in, give us a call later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Because, yeah, we're already, I'm looking at the clock here, already quickly moving through things. I loved watching your commentary during the live feed of the governor's State of the State address. I want Holyfield. It was great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I have so much fun live streaming. And when there's a State of the State like that with Governor Gianforte, even better because it's great content. It's a great, you know, I watched the Democrat response, Senator St. Marjo, and then I watched the Freedom Caucus. I think it was Representative Jerry Schillinger had a little presser. And you know what? The State Freedom Caucus Network picked up on that, tweeted it out, and then I got retweets on that little clip of. And you know what? Representative Schillinger said the government doesn't have any money. All of this money we're talking about, that's taxpayer money, not the government.
Yeah,
money.
Jerry Schillinger, he's one of the great ones, that's for sure. All right, I'm not hearing the music, but I'm seeing the clock. Quick break. Legislative update next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Adam Schiff is a congenital liar. He has no business being in the U.S. Senate, but of course, the people of California. That's why with everything that's going on out there and all of this that could have been prevented, had they practiced basic common sense, you know, the science of forestry and removing brush, the kindling for fires, and having controlled burns and doing the things that you would normally do to prevent forest fires. You know, it's just sad, but I bet that Gavin Newsom, if he ran tomorrow, would probably win. And if Kamala runs in 2 years, she'll probably win. And the congenital liar won because the people of California don't even seem to care.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
The election is officially over, but is your money still at risk? We still have a staggering $35 trillion in debt. Interest on this debt now costs more than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. On top of that, we're still feeling the consequences of the brutal inflation we saw under Biden and the global chaos ripping across the globe. That's why thousands of concerned Americans are turning to precious metals to help hedge against these threats. And they're reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make it happen. Goldco has over 6,000 five-star reviews and has helped people just like you purchase over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. Right now, they're offering a free gold and silver kit to help you diversify your savings. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today. We're looking at high temperatures from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, increasing clouds, chances for snow showers moving in overnight. Lows in the upper teens in Bozeman to the mid-20s in Billings, with snow showers Friday up to an inch possible, with high temperatures in the mid-20s to around 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get right to it. Here's the legislative update from Jeff Laslopi and the Montana Family Foundation.
Every election cycle for the past two decades, our office has been inundated with calls and emails from frustrated voters, all asking the same question: who am I supposed to vote for in the judicial races? There's plenty of information on all of the other political candidates, but information on candidates for judgeships and Supreme Court justices remains an impenetrable black hole. In my opinion, we have the best courts that money can buy. Not because judges are accepting bribes or anything nefarious, but because large sums of money are donated by liberal special interest groups like the trial lawyers, which is then spent on fluffy, meaningless TV ads, which have reduced our judicial races to little more than popularity contests. In recent years, we've proven that the vast majority of our judicial candidates are demonstrably left-leaning. In the 2016 election cycle, we went back through 30 years of campaign finance records and found that judicial candidates in that cycle had historically given over 90% of their own political donations in partisan races to Democrat candidates. It was as though a light bulb went off. At a time when our state was moving decidedly to the right, our courts were still being dominated by liberal judges. And in 2021, the myth that the courts were somehow politically neutral was shattered when the legislature got hold of a tranche of emails that proved that judges were prejudging cases. It was extremely embarrassing for the courts, but it proved once and for all that judges were just as politically motivated as any other person serving in public office. Which brings us back to the question. At a time when Montana has shifted so far to the right that Republicans hold every single statewide office and majorities in both the House and the Senate, why do we continue to elect liberal judges? In my opinion, it's because when it comes to judicial candidates, people have no idea who they're voting for. Across the U.S., judges are selected in one of two ways. They're either appointed or they're elected. In Montana, we've chosen to elect our judges, which is fine as long as people know who they're voting for. In the U.S. Supreme Court case of Republican Party of Minnesota v. White, the court said that in cases where judges are elected, voters have both the right and the responsibility to cast informed votes. Informed votes, not stabs in the dark or educated guesses, but fully informed votes. To that end, the Senate Judiciary Committee today will hear Senate Bill 42, a bill to restore partisan judicial elections in Montana. I said restore because we used to elect our judges with a party affiliation. That changed some years ago when Democrat majorities in the House and Senate, led by a Democrat governor, changed the law to make judicial races nonpartisan. The courts, the trial lawyers, and the State Bar Association will no doubt oppose Senate Bill 42 on the grounds that it will inject politics into an otherwise politically neutral judiciary. But as Governor Gianforte pointed out this week in his State of the State address, the Montana Supreme Court is nonpartisan in name only. Electing judges by party may not tell us much about a candidate's judicial temperament, but it would tell us something about their ideology and political philosophy, which is orders of magnitude more information than we have now. As I said, this is nothing new. This is how we used to elect judges. It's time to acknowledge that this experiment in nonpartisan judicial elections has failed and left voters incredibly frustrated. It's time to return to a system where voters can cast informed votes. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslofi reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Yeah, looking forward to hearing David Noble. Actually, David, I got 20, 30 seconds. Your reaction to that fully informed vote, what's wrong with that?
That's what I've always said. I've always said responsible voters are informed. Democrats, of course, and I love it because what he's talking about are these Democrats that are out there telling, hey, even if you have no clue who anybody is, you've never looked at anything, you don't know anything that's going on, still go out and vote. That's what the Democrats say because they know low-information voters vote Democrat.
Yeah, great point. Just don't. Don't get any information. Don't get the facts for yourself. Just vote for who we
just
tell
you to. Just do a knee-jerk reaction. You'll end up a Democrat.
Based off of a bunch of out-of-state funded ads. Yeah.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We all get benefits from tax dollars, from the roads we drive on, the firefighters who protect our houses, and the courts and police that keep us safe. So why don't we make taxes voluntary? The answer is the well-known free rider problem. People will not voluntarily pay for things that they enjoy, whether they pay or not. If everyone tries to free ride on the backs of others, it all breaks down. The solution, compulsory taxes, is as unpopular as it is necessary. But the free rider problem pops up in other places as well. One of them is housing regulation. The solution to housing unaffordability, to build more housing, is not welcome in many parts of our state, especially at the neighborhood level. Let those other places become more densely populated, some might say, while we keep our big lawns and quiet streets. And if we free ride on other communities' efforts to boost housing stock, we get the best of both worlds. Except that if every community thinks like we do, nothing changes and the crisis gets worse. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.